Father, we pray that as we hear your word, you would teach us and that you would apply your word to help us to be the people that you would have us be. Amen. Would you like to sit? Well, we're continuing our walk through Luke's Gospel, following the Uncover Guide today. And today we're looking at evidence B. And it's covering the reading that we've just had from Luke's Gospel, which was on page 68 of the New Testament. So if you'd like to turn there, please, that would be helpful. There's little bits of film strips that go with this series to introduce it, and the title of the film clip which introduces this study, the title is Jesus Wants You to Be Like the Prostitute. Now, I don't think this title will shock or surprise anybody, because we understand that we need to be like the woman, not in the sense that we should be offering our bodies for sale, but in the sense that we're repentant sinners, grateful that we're forgiven. This story may well have shocked the original readers of Luke's Gospel, but we're familiar enough with the message of Jesus to know that he welcomes repentant sinners and isn't impressed with self-righteous religious people. We know this from the many stories that Jesus told, and here he is showing it through his actions. He's living out his message. Now, the fact that this account may not surprise us doesn't mean that it's not worth thinking about. Knowing that something's true doesn't necessarily mean that truth always lives in us, does it? There's a hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I don't know whether you know it, but one of the verses says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. We are prone to wander, aren't we? So we need to revisit this truth over and over. We need to revisit all of his truth over and over, for his truth to be sealed in our hearts. Now, we're going to look at three things as we consider this passage. So we've got a fair bit to look at, but it's not going to be too long. It'll probably be not quite as long as the banns of marriage, to be honest. Firstly, what does it mean to those in the story? Secondly, what does it mean to us today? And the third thing I'd like to look at is, since we're encouraged to think of this series in terms of speaking to non-Christians, we'll try to consider what they may think of this event when they hear it. So let's have a look at the incident as Luke records it. The other three Gospels all mention an account of a woman anointing Jesus, but they are describing a different event than the one that Luke is telling us about. Tradition has it that this woman is Mary Magdalene, but that's just tradition. There's really no evidence to justify that. So in verse 36, we read that one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. Now, these sort of meals were a bit like chat shows are today. The celebrity host would invite celebrity guests. Furniture would be set up in the courtyard for the invited guests, while other people would come along and watch and hear what was being said. Jesus was becoming well known and increasingly an object of interest. But the host, Simon, doesn't seem to think a lot of Jesus, does he? Because we see in verses 44 to 46 that he doesn't offer Jesus the normal courtesies that might have been expected. There's no feet washing, no welcoming kiss, no anointing. But this uninvited woman, probably a prostitute, suddenly appears, as we see in verse 37. She washes Jesus' feet with her tears, wipes them with her hair, even though letting her hair down in public will have been considered shameful. And then she anoints Jesus' feet with precious perfume. Now, I said the woman was probably a prostitute. Perhaps I should have said ex-prostitute. Because we can see from this story that she's repented and been forgiven. The emotion, the tears, the actions all stem from this forgiveness. The reaction of Simon the Pharisee showed a lack of right judgment in so many ways. One way is that he misjudged Jesus. He mistook Jesus' acceptance of the woman as ignorance. He had absolutely no idea about grace and forgiveness that Jesus was offering. And Simon also showed a misapprehension of where his standing was before God and where the woman's standing was. He thought he was fine in God's eyes, but that the woman was nowhere near being right with God. In fact, the opposite was true. It's not that Jesus glosses over the woman's sin. You see in verse 47, he says, her sins, which were many. He doesn't gloss over the sin, but he forgives sin. They've been forgiven. And just as last week, when Jesus forgave the sins of the paralyzed man, the fact that he claims to have the divine authority to forgive sins is not lost on the guests. You can see that in verse 49. But this time, Jesus ignores them. His interest is with the woman. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Well, that was then. How does that impact on us today? I'm sure we would all say instantly that we know that we are forgiven sinners saved by grace and not by our religious deeds. We know that. But how does that play out when a repentant sinner wants to join our church? Especially if that sin is one that we're particularly uncomfortable about. How Simon-esque might our behavior be? John concluded his gospel with the words, there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So the gospel writers selected the accounts to include. They couldn't include everything. And when Luke chose this one, he would have known that the reader would be shocked about this encounter with a prostitute. How Jesus turned round perceived values. Now, I'm not sure that the shock value is so intense these days. There tends to be a generally low view of sin today, and often what's heralded as tolerance is really just indifference to sin. But molesting children is still viewed with almost universal loathing. It's part of the hypocrisy of this age that says, our sins are really not so bad, but your sin is really beyond the pale. So I'm going to suggest a hypothetical example to try to restore the shock value. Suppose a reformed, repentant paedophile came to St. George's and wanted to join us. How would we react? Now, as a rider, I'm going to assume that we would follow all the correct child protection safeguarding procedures. So I'm not talking about acting naively or irresponsibly. But with all the safeguarding in place, would we still think, we really don't want this person as part of our church? Or might we think, well, as Christians, we should accept him or her. We should accept them in the church, but I'm going to keep my distance. Or would we recall the words of Jesus and say, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and welcome and befriend the person? I think it's a challenge because there's a little bit of Simon in most of us. That's why it's important to regularly revisit Scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to help us as we perform regular attitude checks on ourselves. Now, on the other hand, we might not be like that. In fact, we might be the ones that are sitting there feeling wretched and worthless, like the woman. We might be the ones that are sitting there fully aware of how sinful we are. The way that Jesus spoke to that woman should encourage each one of us to receive Jesus' forgiveness. There's nothing that is beyond the forgiveness of Jesus. Okay, so we've looked at what this meant to those in the story, and we've seen how it might encourage or challenge us today. Now let's think about what the response may be to this story from non-Christian friends. The parable of the sower in the next chapter of Luke tells us that not all receive the gospel with lasting joy. One stumbling block concerns repentance and forgiveness. Those two sides of the coin. Many people see no need for repentance. If somebody does wrong, well, we all mess up, don't we? Nothing to get hung up about, just move on. And actually, as I said before, not so much is regarded as sinful these days. A recent study at the University of Leeds has concluded that, and I quote, there's an increased respectability in how people view sexual services as leisure and also work. So having sex with a prostitute these days by many is just regarded as a normal leisure activity. Being a worker in the sex industry is again considered just to be a normal working activity, just like any other, by so many people. As I said earlier, there's an indifference to sin in today's culture. So some are going to say, I want nothing to do with a religion that tells me I need to repent of what it calls sin. I don't want anything to do with that. How dare they call things sin? Now, the other side of the coin is paradoxically, if something is disapproved of, then it's seen as unforgivable. In the hypothetical case of the repentant child abuser, there would be many who would say, they should never receive forgiveness. What on earth do you think you're doing welcoming somebody like that into your church? They should rot in hell. I want nothing to do with a religion that teaches that sort of forgiveness. This attitude may be summed up, I don't want a religion that calls me to repent of sins that I excuse, and I don't want a religion that forgives other people of sins that I don't excuse. So some will reject the good news. But we can take heart. In the parable of the sower, not all the seed fell on stony ground. The gospel has always met people's needs and broken down barriers. It might be the shame of sin that is the barrier that needs to be broken down. It might be that somebody needs to hear that Jesus forgives all who repent and turn to him. And it may be that it's this account from Luke that leads that person to Christ. Or it may be that self-righteous pride is the barrier. And that this account in Luke is what challenges that person and turns them around. It may just be that a person perceives Christianity to be judgmental and unforgiving, because that's how often the media portrays Christianity. And this might be the trigger that sets somebody off thinking, I better look at it a bit more. So today's reading may be a familiar passage, but there's plenty in it to encourage us and to challenge us. Would you like to pray with me? Lord, thank you that when we walk with you, you set us free from shame and from self-righteous pride. Help us to share your life-giving gospel with others. Amen.